Hans.
Jacob.
What do you do?
In my life?
Yes.
Okay.
When did you start out with dogs? What gave you your initial spark?
The spark, or the disease, I would say. At 10 years, I got my first dog. He was 12 years old. He was older than me. It was my older brother, his sport dog. And Vinkevelde Hoboken. That's the club, his name.
You say that again.
Mistakes are always good to use. We don't need to avoid them. Sometimes that's why the balance needs to be always more up to the positive side than the negative side. But there need to be...
I have a question about the e-collar.
Now, for people that are against the tools, I always...
Could you hazard a guess where you think Dexter Sports may be in 10 years' time?
I hope I'm totally wrong, but I... For me, PSA is...
So if we skip forward 20 years and Hans Verbruggen is retired, is he going to be sat with a dog?
I've been thinking already, and I had this discussion at our club. From my side, is I like dog training, but I don't like all dogs, so...
Welcome to the Caffeine and Canines podcast. Our next guest is Hans Verbruggen. He is a Nipopo practitioner and a wizard of dog training. He is well-renowned all over the world for his methods and practices. It has been a fantastic podcast. This episode, I am joined by Hans himself and Ian Kirk, and we go into the depths of dog training methods, Nipopo, and protection sporks. I hope you enjoy it just as much as I did. Hans.
Jacob.
What do you do?
In my life?
Yes.
Okay. I train mostly people. That's how I earn my money with these days. And sport people, also police, army, sometimes pet dogs, but really not often. That's my main job now. And for my hobby, I train in a NVBK club. In Hoboken, Antwerpen, in Belgium. Belgian Ringsport Club. That's what I do now these days. In the past, I was a technician for 18 years, a long time.
Kind of technician?
Oh, the service technician.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked for a German company.
Miele.
Miele, indeed.
There's one in Harrogate.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just down the road. And there I worked 15 years. And only this year I quit with it.
To focus purely on?
Only dogs and dog stuff and teaching people, in fact. Yeah.
When did you start out with dogs? What gave you your initial spark?
The spark, or the disease, I would say.
That's a little bit more negative way of looking, but yeah, okay. Patient zero. Yeah, okay.
No. I have. I can say gain a lot in my life through the dogs or the dog community, and everything started from me through my brothers. We are with 4 boys, 1 sister. 2 brothers, older brothers, did dog sport in the past. Now still 1. Now these brothers, they started when they were 15, 16 years old. And they are 15, 16 years older than me. And then they bought the first Malinois. And the name from the Malinois was a female, it was Mickey. I remember that when I was a little child.
Mm.
And then they did a 1-year obedience class, of course, that I don't know. After that 1 year, then they went to the local ringsport club. And I remember when I was a child, I was allowed from my parents to go and watch the dogs. Only on Saturday mornings, because in the evening I could not go, because I had to go to school the next day, and it was too late. So I started, quite early to go there to watch. At 10 years, I got my first dog. He was 12 years old. He was older than me. It was my older brother, his sport dog. And the first lesson that I got from them, my brothers and my family, parents, learn to take care about the animal. That means if the animal is in the kennel outside and he do pee-pee in the kennel, well, you need to clean it up.
Yeah.
And you need to feed the animal, and so on and so on. only special occasions my brother would take care about dogs or the dog. Kim was that dog. But otherwise, I had to learn to, to take care about the dog.
And then, because obviously you studied a bit on the bar at some point.
Yeah, yes.
Same so club, I think. Is that right?
Sorry?
Same club.
We are at the same club, yes.
What's now that club called?
Vinkevelde Hoboken. That's the club, his name.
Yeah, you say that again.
I suppose we should maybe explain who Bar is, because some people, a lot of people probably don't know who he is, because we predominantly pack dog stuff, right? You just take him straight into the sport stuff. Obviously, he's come up with his own trademark, dog language.
They have Bart and his wife, Michael, have their Nepopo system that they spread all over the world with big success to teach the dog a language to work with the animals. Paddock industry, sport world industry, protection dogs, hunting. It's a system that you can apply for everything. So it's a system. Now, I had the possibility to go in the club there in the past, and we trained as a hobby, in fact, in our club together with Bart and Michael. And I learned there a lot from these two people, also from other people. Another mentor from me is Davy van Tuinen. I always need to say, because for me it's important who my mentors are.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of respect for these people, all of the people, in fact, that formed me somehow.
Mm.
For me, from what I understand as a Nepopo system, it's a communication system, but it also builds an element of resilience. It doesn't shy away from stress, productive stress. So my previous career was sport. Every pre-season, we would do hard things to try and make us more resilient for the year after, mm-hmm. and a little bit tougher, and a little bit
toughening
more resilient to when it was 6-6 at halftime, we'd go out and win in the second half. So that's where resilience comes from, and toughness is probably a layman's term, but essentially making you mentally tough enough to deal with stress, because the inevitability of stress, like Jacob and I have probably spoken before on the podcast, like you cannot avoid stress at some point, whether it's sport dogs or pet dogs. If the dog's not ready to deal with stress, you're going to have a problem, right? So for me, that's the beauty of the Nepopo or anything that's similar in terms of it. Doesn't shy away from it. It prepares the dog for it.
Well, it's teaching the animals the two ways it's allowed to make mistakes. It's perfectly fine to make a mistake. It's better that you don't make mistakes.
Yep.
And that's the same with us in real life also. So mistakes are always good to use. We don't need to avoid them. Sometimes we in our life, same with the dogs, we try to keep everything too nice and too clean and so on. That's not always good. So it is a preparation. It is a system, a language that on a later age, I would say, when the dog can speak English, the language, or the Nepopo language in this case, that the dog is able to communicate with his handler. And the nice thing about it is, if the handler would change, well, the dog still is able to communicate. There is not a hidden script for the dog. It's a language. That means, let's say Jacob has his dog, you can easily take over the dog, or I can easily take over the dog, take the dog to Belgium, and we can go further, and so on and so on, because the way of thinking is similar if you would use a system. That's why a system always need to stay a system.
You said something interesting earlier during the seminar, which I took a mental note of, and you basically alluded to the fact that should you avoid any negative reinforcement, then you have to generalize behaviors much more than you would should you just use a positive only schedule. Am I correct in making that assumption from what you said earlier?
Well, if you use both sides of the learning possibilities that they are, you don't have to avoid anything because we are learning and we are teaching the animal, okay, you can go to the right side, but I like a little bit that you go to the left side. So explain you the middle is the best.
Yep.
And the middle or the balance from everything is always the best. Too positive or too negative, you're always restricted.
What are the restrictions on too much negative?
With animals, it's quite clear that a lot of submission.
What do you call it? Pressed.
I call it pressed. My English is very basic, so I have basic
it's
words.
It's more than our
Belgian. Yeah.
Belgian.
So, submission, you see the dog that doesn't look so happy, and the animals that you take away their freedom of thinking. And freedom of thinking, it is not bad if it's between certain lines.
Yep.
Because we still live in a society where we have freedom and at the end we don't have freedom.
Yeah.
Limited freedom.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's important for animals also. It is okay to think, it's okay to make decisions, but there are boundaries.
Yeah, of course. And with no negative and too much positive, what's the pitfalls there?
There is always something that's more fun, more nicer than what you can give in the world.
Yeah.
You can eat a nice cake, for example, or a nice steak or a good beer. There will be always something nicer and better. And it's very difficult to fight that. Or you need to keep the dog, in this case, a little bit stupid, that he don't know that there are nicer things.
Yeah.
Now, is it honest against the animal? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very good point.
So then you can't have the parameters of free thinking. You've got a blink of the thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same
do you mean that
in factor?
In terms of, like, confinement? Okay, you don't get the freedom to figure out there's nicer things in life.
That happens with people, with children, with everything. Now, is it honest? And everybody need to decide for himself, okay, for me it's honest, for me it's not honest. I think it's not honest.
Yeah.
I think to tell to children, or not to tell to children, for example, there are no amusement park in the world, it's not honest. Then you keep your child stupid.
Yeah.
So when there is something that is nicer, more fun, it's very, very difficult to stop it with only the positive way of thinking.
And like you said, finding that mix down the
good
middle.
Good balance.
Of having the reliability, but also keeping the dog in good attitude and happy.
Yes, yes.
The tail.
And that's why the balance needs to be always more up to the positive side than the negative side. But there need to be a consequence for doing and not doing.
I have a question about the e-collar. What might you say to someone that may argue that low levels stim and the usage of it could build tolerance in the dog and make a more resilient dog from the e-collar?
Difficult one.
Sorry.
That's a good idea, Fran.
It's the only one I wanted to ask.
How to explain?
I suppose to some extent you would expect it to happen a little bit, right? So if a dog's never felt the sensation and you use it at a low level, it will get kind of used to the sensation. But you kind of want it to get used to the sensation. And you don't necessarily want it to see it as a bad thing. Like, I want that to happen so bad.
We don't want to have fear to the animals.
That's what I
mean, want to guide the dog. Yeah, we don't want to have fear or add fear to the animals.
Mm.
We want to explain the animals that the little unpleasant feeling that we add, the little scratching or nagging, the mosquito or the fly that is on your skin, it's annoying, and you have a possibility to stop it by making an action.
Mm.
Now, for people that are against the tools, I always, like today with the lady that we saw, I never used the collar. I don't know what it is. No problem. We're going to explain you. And I will be your dog to have the first feeling with an e-collar.
Yep.
So you can read me and we're going to explain that the low-level stim that we can add it on the people, that same low-level stim we can add on the animals, and you will learn to read me in this case or the animal what to do, what not to do. And I think only by playing these games, one, it's the most honest, because I'm also a part of the group, the place And I can tell a lot, but if I tell a lot and I don't do, that's not so correct. So I don't agree that. People can do it with me, and I will be there, in this case, the experiment. But we don't want to go over fear. Because, oh, everything is bad. Everything is too hot. Everything is too... Mm. No.
Yep.
Together we're going to explain, but people need to stand open for it. Otherwise, you are also a little bit blocked already. People need to stand open for it. That we can use it in a good way with good explanations. It's like driving the car. The same. We do it together. You have an instructor. The instructor will explain, now you have to do this. Now you have to do that. Do you need to have fear? No. Do you need to go immediately to Leeds Center? No. We do it easy. And little by little, we improve. And little by little, people and animals get more confidence. And it will grow if you stand open for it.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. But it's our job, my job, but also your guys' job.
For sure, yeah.
To, even when everything is banned here, to still talk about it.
Yeah.
If you use it, yes or no, that's your own choice. In 27, if I am right, in Belgium it's also forbidden. So then it's my choice. Yes, no, will I use? I don't know. But I do believe that we need to keep talking about it. When we do not talk about it, then it's forgotten. And then we're totally lost.
The interesting bit for me was that Jacob put a video up, I don't know, when it was like a week or two ago. His dog was wearing an e-collar.
Hans doesn't watch him, he just likes him. He swipes, he told me yesterday. He said, I'll support you, mate, but I ain't watching this shit.
But the perceptions that people had of it, oh, the dog is only listening to the e-collar. It was amazing to see people's responses. Like, does the dog put the collar to its ear and listen to the, sit, stand,
heel? Like a walkie-talkie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, it was mind-boggling what people thought. Their misconceptions of how it works was absolutely mind-boggling.
But we cannot be angry on these people.
No,
if you don't know, you don't know. So then it's perfectly okay.
And I agree, but when they passionately attack people,
then it's not okay.
Then it's up to them to also be open-minded and be like, right, okay. Come.
I'm happy to be cannon fodder, to be honest.
I know you are. You laugh it up. You laugh it up.
Yeah.
But in terms of like education, it doesn't help if anyone who uses them to hammer people who doesn't. But equally, it doesn't help for people who don't use them and don't understand them to just aggressively attack people. It doesn't help anything.
Okay, the people that aggressively attack people on our platform bring people to our platform to then be educated.
Yeah, true, yeah.
So they're there, potentially, they comment, people read the comments and go, oh my God. And then they read the replies of the comments going, okay, there's another side of the coin I didn't really think about. So censoring them people just censors us too. So perhaps they need to be aggression to be responded to in order to then educate. So I think
that's the same with the dogs. So we allow the mistakes to explain better the wanted behaviors that we try to show them.
Yeah.
So we need to have both worlds. Of course, we need to be able to handle the bad ways or the criticism.
Because there's plenty of people watching the video, thinking those thoughts, but not writing it down.
Yeah.
And they all just go, like, I don't like that, I'm going to continue to swipe, and then keep that rhetoric in their head. But should then someone voice their opinion that they share on the video to then get responded to and answered to, then it just enables us to educate further than... Should that person have not responded, or should we have deleted those comments? Because you can delete comments on Instagram.
Yeah.
And if we were really upset by them, we just delete.
Yeah.
But instead, it's probably better to respond, or even better, respond in video format. So then they can go, oh, okay, I didn't think of it like that. Mm. I honestly thought that the dog was only responding because he had the collar on, or...
That I agree also. Yeah. You need to have, an open discussion worldwide. Mm. The problem is, are the most of the people open-minded? And you can only get or create open-minded people by, indeed, talking and showing things.
Mm. That's the internet.
That's the internet.
I don't know if you can create open-mindedness. I think people are either open-minded or not to a degree.
Yeah.
Can be.
Unfortunately.
Can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even when proven wrong, people can just hold their position, right?
Yeah.
Which is hard to do.
Mm.
Like, to come out of your position is hard.
Yeah, it takes strong character.
Yeah, like no one's going to turn around and... So I can honestly say, no one's going to turn around and convince me an e-collar's not a useful tool. Is that me being closed-minded? Yeah, maybe.
Mm.
But I can honestly say that.
Yeah.
And then there might be someone sat 5 miles that way down the road at another dog training school that go, I can honestly say that I truly believe that e-collars are cruel and no one's going to convince me otherwise. So,
sure.
I don't know, but maybe where is closed-minded?
I am wholeheartedly convinced if that person drove down here and said, this is why, and proved to you there was a better way, I think you would go, oh, okay, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I'll chuck it in.
If they could get what...
If it could be done, obviously.
Yeah.
But that doesn't often happen, does it?
No. You know, there's not enough evidence, right? No. Everyone's got the smartphone and no one's proven it.
No.
No one's proven that they're clicking their dog away from a rabbit in... Well, what's this moving? No one's... I've not seen it.
No.
Sometimes you'll see it with a dog on a long line that's not really spotted the rabbit and they're whistling and... Yeah. Sometimes, but...
Yeah.
And that's the difficult discussion.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who is right? Who's wrong? But at the end...
Say it.
It's like walking against the wall non-stop.
You're supposed to say, only the dog will know.
Yeah, we love that catchphrase.
Yeah, we say it daily. We say daily. It daily here.
Yeah, we stole it off you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like that we can have intentions that we do or add something or reward something, but at the end, the dog will know when, where, and what.
Mm. Yeah.
And we can only do our best.
And they don't lie.
Never.
Mm.
Never.
I'm going to divert the conversation. But why might someone opt to, such as yourself, participate in a protection sport instead of another dog sport, like agility or flyball or something like that?
Because I like our sport that we do. I like that. And I also, honestly, never was in a club. So I think also club life is a little bit important somehow. Even we are a very small club, but club life is also important for me, I think, as a hobby, to do the sport what I want to do. And maybe if I don't know what the future will bring, do I want to do agility and I feel good in a club? Maybe yes. I never thought about it, honestly. Maybe I would like a fly ball, maybe I would like to do, I don't know, doggy dance.
Yeah.
Why not?
Frisbee.
But at the end, everybody that is busy with their dogs, whatever they do good stuff. If it's honest.
Yeah.
But for me, yeah, I'm born somehow into the protection sport. And I have a big respect for the sport. It's still a big motivator to work on the dogs for... or to keep the sport in what I can do a little bit alive. I still have the fire to continue in these things.
Could you hazard a guess where you think protection sports may be in 10 years' time?
I hope I'm totally wrong, but I don't think that a lot of sports will survive in 10 years' time.
Mm.
That's the sad future now.
Is that a political thing or a participation thing? Like, are the people there willing and wanting to do it, or is it the sport getting squashed by politics?
Is it not both nowadays?
It could be. I don't know much about it.
I think, yeah, but I think it's with everything. Of course, there is a lot. You can do protection sport, but into the protection sport, you have, I don't know, 5-6 organizations.
Yep.
Then in these 5-6 organizations that offer IGP, a ring sport, in these organizations, you again have 3 other organizations. Because the people, mostly, don't get along with each other.
Right, okay.
That's one thing. I think for agility will be the same story.
Yeah.
But then, we also can go and play football. And we can play badminton and tennis and squash. And yeah, there is too much. There are too many possibilities. People need to go to work. People stand in traffic after work. They eat fast something. Then they need to stand in traffic again to go to their club. It's not so easy these days. And money-wise, everything is get quite expensive now.
Mm.
So a lot of people need to be happy already with a full-time job that they can pay electricity and water and heating and living and so on. And to give it then to an expensive hobby, because in dog world, when you have an injury, you need to pay. When your dog for agility is very, very slow, you don't get a lot of profit from that. You don't win a lot from this. So I think it's demanding. And it's still a dog, so in the horse world it would be even worse, I think, somehow. Mm. Of course, the possibilities in this world is different. But there is too much. So I don't think that it looks good for a lot of one animal sports in general.
No, I don't think so. What do you think that might do for breeding of certain breeds?
I think it's really bad, and that you see now also already that the genetic pools are changing. One, there are less sports. Two, we have the problem now that, how to say, the competitions are less. So when there are less competitions, you always have the problem that the selection is different, mostly worser. Then into protection sport, what do you want? In a certain sport you want a little bit more from this, in another sport you want to have a little bit more from that behavior. So what do you want there? I don't think it looks good now. And I do think, and it is like that, our German Shepherd, our Malinois, and so on, they are changing. And the last 10 years they are changing a lot.
Yep.
And not in a good way. But who am I to tell that it's the wrong side? Now, I can only tell, and I only tell what I think, but it's my personal idea. But for me, it doesn't look so good, no. You need to have a competition to test and to select. And if you don't have a competition anymore, there is no selection anymore. And we cannot adjust a competition because we have weaker dogs, because our competition is not a test anymore.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And that's...
Move the goalposts.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a circle, huh?
Yeah.
And there are not a lot of...
That's happened in human schools over here now, though. We don't have winners and losers at sports.
No. No, just...
You're not allowed to win sports, eh? You
just participate.
Yeah, you just take part. Mm-hmm. So then, obviously, standards...
Draw.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And then we have lesser athletes.
Yeah.
And then, about protection sports. How many real protection sports are there? Also something.
Is PSA one? Or in...
Go on, put it out there.
Well, my personal opinion.
You don't have to say it. It's fine.
I'll say it.
Yes, I will. I will. Yeah, I will.
We'll
and you guys, you know that what I think about it. For me, PSA is not a protection sport or a bite sport. It's not a bite sport. And why for me it's not a bite sport is I see it as one, an obedience sport with a lot of distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see it also not as an easy sport. It's a very difficult sport, obedience-wise.
Yep.
With a lot of distractions, but also non-stop teasing the dogs.
Mm.
And what I also see there is, but I'm not from that world, I'm not in that world. I know people that make this world, and that's okay. I like I said, I support everyone that make a sport or do something with the dog. Perfectly okay. But you cannot sell it as a protection sport. For me, or as a bite sport for me. A certain type of dogs can survive there very, very good. And you see a lot of dogs with a nervy side there. People would say, yeah, but it's drive. That's not drive. In a nervous dog, there is stress.
Mm.
And stress is not drive.
Is that the dogs that are leaking?
It can be leaking. But... The problem, if these dogs survive there, there is always a group of dogs that will be the best ones. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people do, they want to breed and start breeding with the best ones. They don't care anymore.
Yep.
What is the dog doing? No, he has a title, what we say now.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And it will weaken the pool.
Yep.
So, all respect, PSA, in my way of thinking, is an obedience sport with distractions and with teasing the animals. Sorry.
It's okay. I'm not going to change now. Okay. What do you see the banning of tools doing for...
I think it's a little bit the same. We go to a certain type of dogs that, for the majority, they will be trained different, they will be bred different, and dogs will change. It's like the shows, the contest, to put the dog on the table and to decide, okay, he has the nicest fur. how many hunting dogs there can still hunt?
Yeah.
How many Jack Russells will still go into the hole? And how many? Yeah, no, we breed our dog to run a show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that who invented? Standards are necessary.
Yep.
But this is too much.
But not based purely on aesthetics.
That's I don't know who invent these things.
So I guess it'll jeopardize the working spirit of the animal, but is that maybe a good thing? So long as we're not concentrating on looks, but also not breeding the dog for the work, is it a good thing? Because we need flatter dogs for pets, right? We don't need crazy Jack Russell Terriers.
I think then the people need to buy a pet dog that is a pet dog.
What's a pet dog?
Now, every dog had a purpose in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there is a certain breed. I'm not into...
Pekingese.
Maybe, for example, but if the people like it as a pet dog, well, keep it as a pet dog. Mm. But why you would, I don't know, with a sports car you don't drive in the forest?
No.
Border Collie's one that stands out. We have loads of mental Border Collies coming because they're meant to be about working 10 hours a day. And
that's the whole thing. Yeah. So let the Collie, in this case, well, let him be the Collie if he want to work, if he runs behind the sheep, and so on. If he hurts, then it's quite cruel to put him in the sofa a whole day in front of the television or the fire.
I think it's crazy how that is allowed, but they're also trying to ban things like the e-collar, which costs £1,000. Like, you have to go through a learning process, like you go to a trainer to learn how to use it, and enables your dog, as a pet dog, to have much more off-lead freedom and like a happier life, and learn that there's those exciting things in life, yet it's perfectly fine and acceptable for someone to buy a Border Collie, German Shepherd, Belgian Malinois, and go to work all day and leave it in a crate.
And do nothing.
And then walk it twice a day on a harness. That person's not cruel. And that same dog may be overweight, but the person that is putting in the hours of training to give their dog more of a life that's posted online and shunned and abused and things.
And that's the reason why all the shelters are full with Malinois and maybe Border Collies also.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
So I think in general, the way of thinking, there is something wrong, totally. And again, that's why it's good to explain these things and to throw it on the internet, to reach a lot of people, say it to your clients, and don't avoid the discussion. If it's a discussion, an open-minded discussion.
Yeah.
I know plenty of trainers that use the tools, but don't speak about using the tools.
Yeah,
you know, they're using them on their own dogs and their clients. And
that's also, I'm not a fan of these people neither. Now the people can say, yeah, but what if you would be in my place? I don't know yet, because I'm not yet in your place. Ask me the same question in 3 years, then I will answer. But I don't think that it's honest.
Well, it's not honest.
It's not honest. No.
Almost the definition of not being honest.
It's not opposite. Honest against one, themselves, two, against the animals.
Yep.
Because if you are liking dogs, loving dogs, well, then you need to be honest with the dogs.
So if we skip forward 20 years and Hans Verbruggen is retired, is he going to have...
That would be nice. That would be nice. I'm not that old, then.
I didn't mean it like that. I just meant you're doing such a good job. You can early retirement. Is he going to be sat with a dog?
I've been thinking already, and I had this discussion at our club and with my brother also. We talk about that. If there is no sport anymore, do we still have a dog? And it even could be that I would not have a dog anymore if there is no sport. Because from my side is I like dog training, but I don't like all dogs. So I don't know. Maybe I'll start fishing or something like that, or
that'll be banned too, don't worry. It's got hooks and everything.
Oh, that's
surely
cruel.
That's worse.
Yeah, that's cruel. Then I need to find something else. Petank.
What?
Petank.
What's that? Bowls.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, yeah. So maybe something like that. 58.
Smoking cigars and chess.
No.
So you
no,
wouldn't.
No, no,
you're not necessarily a man to have a companion dog.
Well, my dog is my friend.
Yes.
Yes. But for me, it's still a dog.
Yep.
And for sure, I live with my dog together. He doesn't live in the house. He knows the house rules, but he's living outside. But it is my friend. But do I miss him when I'm without? Because I travel a little bit. I don't miss him, no.
Okay.
And I miss training. Mm-hmm. But I don't miss him as a dog.
Is that from your engineer background?
Can
you're
be.
Very methodical in your approach and...
It will be my way of thinking. Mm. And I do notice that the way of thinking that I have with the animals, that I use the same methods as a technician.
Yeah.
Like problem solving, you start where it's good, there is a problem, there is a mistake, okay, we start there and then we go further.
Mm.
And that's the same like you do as a technician. This works, that doesn't work anymore. Mm. We search, we find... We solve it, and we go further.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do you have any other questions?
So I've got this French bulldog, right? And when you unclip his... Like, oh, we'll go there. You unclip his harness, yeah, it's probably too...
Might bite a little bit.
No one can answer that question, can they?
No.
But it's a pretty one. It's a nice one.
He's got nice ears.
He's good looking.
Hans, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, awesome, thank you.
This is the third time I've met you now, and I always take a lot out of your seminars. Where are you going next, and when are you back in the UK, and when's your silver score, when's your gold score?
When I'm back in the UK, I have no idea yet.
Okay.
So
you got nothing officially booked in?
For the next one, no. So I work for everyone. If people need me, or if they want to hear my story, or my side of the story, I'm always happy to give that.
Like Batman. I have dog training. We just got a giant light with an H. And yeah, he shows up
all the way to Belgium.
So no, that's always possible. My gold school, the next gold school now I need to think is in Australia in January, then in February in Italy, and in March in Belgium again.
Do they get full quickly though? Like, because that's obviously replicating the Nepopo stuff, the silver.
Yeah, so school, so the silver school, that it's always the theoretical part.
Yes.
That is always given by Bart and Michael.
Okay.
And the people that succeed there, they need to find their, they call it multiplicators,
yep.
To have a practical school with the dogs. So that's what I'm doing. And then normal one-to-one trainings, seminars, and... week trainings, all these things,
yeah.
teaching in general, that's what I do. For the moment, I have no plans to come to the UK yet, but sometime something is happening, so we will see. But I'm sure that I will come back. Yeah. And from my side, I also thank you. One, that I, after two times, that I can come back.
Yeah. Must be all right.
That I can teach here in the Yorkshire Canine Academy, and I thank you both guys. Also,
you're very welcome. Pleasure having you.
Bloody pleasure.
Your first podcast
like this? Yes. I did it a few times over the computer.
Okay.
And I'm not so internet minded, and I'm a little bit old school still. Yeah. So it's the first time that I do it like that, and.
Nice.
It's something special.
Nice. Yes, there you go.
Nice.
Thanks again.
Took Hans' podcast virginity.
Nice. Yes. Yeah.
Right, thanks very much, Hans.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Smashing.
Good to see you. Thanks, everyone.
Legend.
See you later.
Bye.